Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by the American Heart Association. Right now, in elementaries across the U.S., they're actually jump roping for heart. It's a great way for them to learn how important it is to take care of your heart, stay healthy and active, and donate to an important cause. Jump Rope for Heart is actually by the American Heart Association, and what I've done is I set up a link to my daughter's webpage, where you can actually donate. So go to otrwesterns.com/jump, just kind of make it easy for you, and donate. Anything you donate will actually, I will match that in a member's donation. So what we're going to do is if you donate $100, I will give you a lifetime membership to otrwesterns.com. So which includes a special episode every week, and starting next week, every episode of Gunsmoke will have a script and they will be included. So go to otrwesterns.com/jump for more information. Now let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be Gunsmoke. Original air dates June 26, 1954, and the title is Claustrophobia. Hope you enjoy, and again, thanks for listening.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Going to make camp, Mr. Dillon?
We'll ask whoever's living in that cabin up ahead if there's any water around here, Chester.
Most likely there ain't. These settlers put up a cabin just anywhere and then start praying for rain.
Oh, we could have camped back on Smoky Hill River.
No, sir. I'd rather go dry. Just as long as we make Dodge by tomorrow night.
We'll make it.
I never seen such a place as that Fort Wallace, Mr. Dillon. Man could go plumb out of his mind living there.
Well, they don't build army posts for pleasure-loving people like you, Chester.
I've been in the army.
Oh? Like it?
Well, sir, we didn't always see eye to eye, me and the army, but at least I didn't get killed.
Well, that helps. I'll bet you look pretty bold in a uniform, Chester.
Oh, my, yes. I surely did.
I wonder if there's anybody home here. Hello?
Place looks deserted, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Here, hold my horse, Chester. I'll take a look.
Ain't nobody home?
There's a man in here, Chester, lying on the floor.
What?
He's dead. Somebody killed him.
We'll put the fire out now, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, we better get started.
Looks like rain this morning.
Yeah, it's too early to tell for sure.
Too bad we don't know that fellow's name, Mr. Dillon. Sure do hate to bury a man and not even put up marker on his grave.
I'd rather know the name of the man that killed him.
Yeah. It's awful easy to get by with killing a man way out here.
Yeah, too easy.
Say, look over there, Mr. Dillon. Yonder comes a couple of riders.
Yeah, I see them.
What do you suppose they're carrying rifles for?
Stand over there, Chester, about 10 feet from me, huh?
Yes, sir.
And keep the hair out of your eyes.
Yes, I will.
What are you men doing here?
Do you own this place?
I wouldn't live in a shack like that. We got a real house over on Turkey Bend. But that don't answer my question, mister. What are you doing here?
Well, we found a dead man in the cabin there last night, so we stopped to bury him.
A dead man? That must have been Riley. What happened to him?
He got shot.
Who'd have shot a nice fellow like Bob Riley?
Maybe they done it, Deaver.
Probably did. You think we ought to hang him?
It'd be easier to shoot him and leave him here as a kind of a warning.
Yes. Good idea, Giles.
You move that rifle 1 inch, mister, and you'll die for it. Now go ahead, mister. You're calling it.
It ain't worth a chance. All right, mister. Whoever you are, you and your friend get mounted and ride out of here.
You're Giles, huh? And Deaver?
That's right. We don't want people around here. Might get an idea to settle down. You two start riding, and right now.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
That coffee you made this morning was weak as well water. Get that fire going again and build some more, huh?
Okay, sir. Sure got a lot of nerve, mister.
You don't even blink, Deaver. Look at him.
We'll be by here later, mister. We won't ride up so close next time. You better be nowheres around. Come on, Scott.
I almost stopped breathing, Mr. Dillon.
It was 2 against 2, Chester. We'd have made out all right.
Yes, I know, but it's the waiting that chills me. Say, you know something? I'll bet anything it was them that killed the fellow that lived here.
Maybe. But I'd sure like to know more about those two. But right now, we better get started for Dodge.
Yes, sir. I'll go get the horses.
Chester and I got mounted and rode maybe a mile and a half when we came across a sort of a camp. There was a man there, a tall man with long yellow hair and bright blue eyes that seemed always to be looking into the distance. He had a mule and an old wagon and some hogs that he kept in a well-built, partly covered pen. But he hadn't put up a shelter of any kind for himself, and it didn't look as though he was about to. We got down and walked over to where he was standing by a small fire.
Sit down, man. I got no coffee, but you're welcome to that pot of chicory. There's a spoonful of molasses in it.
Well, thank you, but we just stopped to say hello.
No need to hurry off, mister. My name's Obie Ridges.
Glad to know you, Ridges. I'm Matt Dillon, and this is Chester Proudfoot.
How you do? I don't meet many people out here.
Are you raising hogs?
All my life. Not here, though. Where do you live, Ridges? You got a house somewhere? Ain't lived in a house since I was 9 years old. I like it outside. I need a breeze.
Well, you're outside here, all right.
And I ain't gonna move, no matter what they say.
No matter what who says?
Them two fellas up on Turkey Bend.
Giles and Deaver?
Them's the one.
Tell me, Ridges, there's a cabin about a mile and a half north of here. You know the man that lives there, Riley?
He comes by here now and then.
Well, we buried him last night. Somebody shot him.
That's bad. That's real bad. You better tell the law about it if you're going anywhere, mister. I don't hold with murdering a man.
Well, I'm a U.S. Marshal, Ridges.
That a fact. Well,
don't you ever get into Dodge?
Well, never have, but I'm going today.
What, in that wagon? It'll take you a week.
No, sir. I'm going horseback.
Well, I swear I don't see no horse.
Well, right out there, fella. Here he comes now. There's Jim Branch leading him. Jim talked me into going to Dodge with him, but I know I won't like it. I'm just doing it for Jim's sake, kind of coddling him along, making him feel good.
Where does this Jim Branch live?
He's got a little place over west of here somewhere. Jim's nothing but a cowboy, Marshal. He'll be drifting on one of these days, kind of like me that way.
Hello?
Got company, Jim?
You ready to go, Obie?
I'm all dressed up like a sore thumb, can't you see?
What'd you do, change your socks?
This here's a U.S. Marshal, Jim. I forget his name.
My name's Matt Dillon. I'm glad to know you.
I'm Chester Proudfoot.
Well, how'd you do? You heading for Dodge, Marshal?
Yeah, we'll ride in with you if you like.
Good. This is a big day. I've been talking Obie into going to town for 3 months. He claims he don't like towns. Wait till he sees Dodge.
I'm happy right here with my hogs. I don't need no town.
Your hogs won't miss you. Well, let's get started.
I gotta be back in 3 days, Jim, like you promised. Them hogs will starve if I ain't.
You'll be back.
Oh, say.
What?
The marshal here tells me Riley got shot.
No.
There's Giles and Deaver done it.
Now, wait a minute, Richards. It looks like they did it, but if I could prove it, I'd be taking them in for trial right now.
Well, it's too bad you can't, Marshal. They're no good, them fellas.
Well, I can wait. They'll make a mistake sooner or later. But we better get going. It's 60 miles to Dodge. Good evening, Kitty.
Sit down, Master. You want a drink?
No, thanks. I just had dinner.
That reminds me. Fella brought me a dozen quail today.
Oh?
I can cook them for dinner tomorrow if you're going to be around.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll be here.
They ought to be ripe enough by then.
You know, I never saw as many quail as there are this year. Riding in yesterday, we put up clouds of them.
That Jim Branch seems like a nice fellow, Matt. Obie Ridges, too.
Yeah, they are, Kitty. They sure make a funny pair.
Maybe. But still, they're kind of like brothers. Look at him over there at the bar. Obie's getting spookier every minute he's here.
Obie likes it outdoors, right out on the ground.
I doubt he'll ever come into town again. Jim told me he still hasn't been able to get him to take a meal in a restaurant. He has to bring it outside for him. He says he can drink inside, but that's all.
Well, maybe we'd all be better off if we lived that way, Kitty.
Not me. I don't want to live like an animal.
Don't you?
Hello, Miss Kitty.
Hello, Jim.
Marshal, something bad's happened.
What, Jim?
Well, this fella here just rode into town from up north. Well, he come by Obie's camp. Marshal, somebody shot Obie's mule and burnt up his wagon and killed all his hogs.
That's right, Marshal.
Oh, yeah. No.
Giles and Deaver again, huh?
Well, it's Obie I'm worried about. I never should have made him come down, Marshal. He'll kill them fellas now. I know he will.
I'll ride out with you, Jim. Right now.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first...
This coming Tuesday night on most of these stations, CBS Radio turns John Lund loose on his latest case of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the Woodward Manila matter, Dollar launches a search for a missing man and a missing fortune. And when the chips are all totaled up, the missing man and the missing money, each somewhat depleted, are accounted for. Don't forget, this Tuesday night at the Star's address, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
I wanted to ride out to Obie Ridger's camp that night, but Obie insisted on staying in Dodge. He even tried to have a good time for Jim's sake. Next day, however, on the ride up, he just sat his horse and stared straight ahead. Said a word. We reached his camp after dark, and we could see his mule and his hogs lying there in the moonlight, and the remains of his wagon, charred and ghost-like.
Yeah, there was nothing we could do then, so he lay down on the ground and went to sleep. But that was our worst mistake, as I discovered when Chester woke me next morning. Obie had disappeared, and he'd taken his rifle with him. We saddled up and rode for Turkey Bend.
How much farther is it, Jim?
Just beyond them trees, Chester. I told you Obie was going to kill these fellas, Marshal.
Well, maybe they're not here.
If they're not, he'll find them.
Let's pull up.
I don't see no cabin.
It's right in there. There it is, see?
Oh, sure.
Wait a minute. Look over there, behind that log.
It's Obie. Hey, Obie!
So we better walk over.
Okay. Hey, what are you doing, Obie?
Damn, you'll get shot!
Come on, let's run for it.
All right.
Beaver in there. I got him trapped.
Look, Obie, I'll handle this. You can't kill these men.
I done killed Giles already. That's him laying right by the door over there.
Oh, Obie, you did.
Blew the top of his head off.
Obie, I gotta put you under arrest now. Give me your rifle.
Wait till I kill Beaver. I can't hang twice.
Give me that rifle, Obie. Now.
You mean it, don't you?
I do.
All right, I won't fight you. Here. But I'd sure like to kill Beaver.
Chester, take this rifle and keep an eye on him. I'm going after Beaver.
Yes, sir.
He'll kill you, Marshal.
No. He'll be too curious at first. I'll walk over there with my hands up. But you wait here till I yell. Beaver! Don't shoot. I want to talk to you. Come outside. Obie's under guard. He won't shoot. I'm a U.S. Marshal, Deaver.
You're the feller we run into the other day up at Riley's cabin?
I am. Now come on out.
Thought there were something about you.
I got Obie under arrest, Deaver. He admits killing Giles here.
He killed him.
Did you and Giles slaughter his mule and his hogs?
There's no reason to murder a man.
No? No, it isn't. But tell me about you. Did you murder Riley?
Well, wait a minute,
You're
Martin.
You're going back to Dodge with us, Stephen.
Well, no, not me.
Keep your hand away from that gun.
Let's see how good you really are, Marshal.
No!
Good for you, Marshal. Good. You killed him. Now they're both dead.
Yeah, they're both dead. But you murdered one of them, Obie.
Jail. I can't go to jail, Marshal. I'd go crazy. I'd go crazy in jail, don't you understand? I can't go to jail.
It was a hard thing to do, but I had no choice. And I took Obie back to Dodge and locked him up. A few weeks later, he went on trial. And after long deliberation, the judge sentenced him to life imprisonment. Obie stood up and said he'd rather be hung. And I took him back to jail. And I sat there with him for a while.
I thank you for everything you said, Marshal. You didn't have to do that.
Well, I just tried to get the judge to believe you went crazy and you didn't know what you were doing, Obie.
I knew what I was doing. I told him I did.
Yeah, I know.
Why wouldn't he let him hang me, Marshal?
And he did what he thought was just, Obie. He didn't think he deserved hanging.
I don't know how I stood it this long in jail.
I'm sorry, Obie. I wish I could help you.
They got windows in the penitentiary, Marshal?
Sure they have. But I'll be around later, Obie.
Taking it,
Dylan. That's pretty hard on him, Chester. Where's Jim Branch, anyway?
Oh, my, I ain't seen him since the trial was over.
Well, maybe he'll come around later. I'm going to supper with Doc, Chester. We'll be at Delmonico's.
All right, sir.
Like that could go crazy. Locked up, man? Oh, that's happened before.
There's nothing I can do about it, Doc.
Well, I know. I didn't mean it that way, man.
Pass me the beans, will you?
These are peas, Matt, but you're welcome to.
All right, peas. Peas, then. Thank you.
Why don't you take a vacation, Matt? You know, go back east somewhere, kind of like St. Louis or Kansas City or someplace like that.
Maybe I don't like towns either.
Well, that's just what I mean. You need a vacation, all right. Oh.
Yeah? Well, if I were a rich croaker, maybe I could take one.
Rich croaker? Croaker? Oh, man. Oh, croaker, man, how could you say...
All right,
Matt,
Doc.
Take it easy, Doc.
You'll bust something.
It's a fine thing when a mere policeman can insult the noblest profession known to man.
I was insulting you, Doc, not the profession.
Oh, croaker. Oh, I might have known what it'd be like having supper with you tonight.
I'll buy you a drink after, huh? How's that?
Well, I don't know. Well, I'll think about it.
Mr. Dillon?
What's the matter, Chester?
Obie Ridgers. He's dead.
What?
I heard a shot out back, and I run into his cell, and he was laying there dead. There's a gun on the floor. I don't know where he got hold of it. You better come look.
He's dead all right, man.
You think he killed himself, Doc?
Well, the gun was held right close to his head.
Maybe somebody called him over to the window and shot him.
Maybe. But he could have done it himself. The bullet entered right here, Matt.
Yeah. So you're saying it could be either murder or suicide?
That's right. Well, why would anybody murder him, Mr. Dillon? It don't make sense.
And it could be somebody who understood how Obie felt about being cooped up the rest of his life, Chester. And somebody who liked him. A good friend.
Jim Branch?
I don't know who used that gun, but Obie's dead. And I'm going to find Jim. Jim Branch wouldn't talk one way or the other. So I charged him with both murder and abetting a suicide, and he was brought to trial. The trial didn't last long due to lack of evidence, and Jim was freed. He left the country soon after, and I never heard of him again. And as Kitty had said, he and Obie were kind of like brothers.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Crucian, and John Daner. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty, Roy Rowan speaking. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
From all corners of the globe comes the news, edited and reported for your listening pleasure on CBS Newsroom Sunday Desk every Sunday afternoon on most of these same CBS radio stations. Three top reporters bring you the latest up-to-the-minute news in their specialized fields. Dick Joy tells you about news at home and overseas, Tom Harmon handles sports, and George Fisher reports the movie land news. That's CBS Newsroom Sunday Desk, tomorrow at the Star's address. Eve Arden, as Our Miss Brooks, teaches you how to laugh tomorrow on the CBS Radio Network.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed this special episode of OTRWesterns.com. Check out the show notes site, OTRWesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. We're on Twitter, @OTRWesterns. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/OTRWesterns. And please rate us on iTunes. Just search OTR Westerns. We have multiple podcasts, so if you subscribe to this specific feed, then please do leave feedback on that one. Rate us high so we can go ahead and get nominated and all that other good stuff. This podcast is copyright 2011 under attribution, non-commercial, share alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. That's it. Have a great day. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed.